Impact Driven Entrepreneur, episode 80, How to Reflect Lovingly on Your Year. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Impact Driven Entrepreneur, the podcast that helps you expand your reach and convert that reach into clients so you can lead your tribe with confidence and create change in the world while living the life you desire. And now your host, certified business coach and consultant, Mariana Ruiz.
Welcome back to the Impact Driven Entrepreneur. I am so excited to share with you some of my biggest lessons and takeaways from 2018 and some of the things that we're going to be doing a little bit different, a little bit more of the amazing stuff that we did last year based on some questions that I was working through just the other day, probably a couple weeks ago now, when I went on a retreat here locally. We actually met up halfway between where my friends were at in Connecticut and where I was at in Albany, and we ended up meeting in Massachusetts. And it was an amazing, beautiful, incredible retreat. We rented an Airbnb, gorgeous, gorgeous internal decorating. For anyone who has that skill, I am like so jealous of that skill. I have a horrible eye for interior design and all of that. But anyways, it was so beautiful to escape what we were doing, focusing on. I was actually in the middle of a launch and then getting some time away to really play with and really get out there and think about what I want to do more intentionally in 2019. And so I'm going to share all of that with you. As you can hear, I have a little bit of a cold, so I'm just going to do the best that I can. Excited to share this process with you and some of the questions that I asked myself. So I'm going to run through each of the questions and then I'm going to go through my answers for each one just to share a little bit of the behind the scenes. So if you want to just hear what the questions are, just listen to the first part. And then if you want to go and hear what my answers were to all of this, then listen to the second part. And then I want to do a huge shout out to the women who were with me. It was Jessica Rodriguez from freedomdrivensuccess.com and Amanda Rivera from amandarivera.co. Okay, so the first question is, what changes did you make to improve yourself in the last year? The second question is, what would I have done differently? Second is, what do I feel really good about? The third, I don't know what number we're on. What are my biggest obstacles and challenges into the new year? And what am I the most proud of? And then I have a bonus question if you stay all the way till the end, because it really won't make sense until you listen to everything else that I say as my answers. Those are the questions. If you want to listen till the end, go ahead and do that and you'll hear all of my answers. But if you want to stop here and just journal on that, have an amazing day. Okay, let's get into each of my answers. Okay, so the first question was really like, what were the things that I did to improve myself and to really grow in 2018? So for me, I really worked on my mindset. I took a few different things around mindset, which were huge. I published a best-selling book, so I had some trainings on how to, you know, publish a book and how to write a book and all of that stuff. I did more sales trainings in terms of more detail, in terms of like how to move sales better, quicker, more effectively. And I think that that's just such an important part of our business that like I can't just ever stop learning and growing in that area. And even though I am good at sales, I've been doing sales, I always think I can tweak and improve. And last year, I really started looking at how can I coach more throughout the sales process. So I invested in trainings to help me with that and also implemented and really practiced on mastering that and really just improving that process. And one of the things that I am the most proud of from 2018, which I want you to really sit down and do this for yourself, right? Like, what are some of the things that you are the most proud of? Because so often at this time of the year, whether it's the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, we are so hard on ourselves about the things that we wish we had or we wish we did, but we fail to acknowledge those changes that we made that were so drastically important and helpful for us in our business moving forward. So for me, one of the practices that I am most proud of is starting to keep my word to myself even more. So I love this and the work of this woman named Gretchen Rubin. So I'm going to link to it in the show notes. But she basically has a quiz that has you ask yourself, are you a rebel? Are you an upholder? Or are you an obliger? And it's basically your natural tendency with regard to your commitments. And I realized that, you know, through doing mindset work and through my own journey as I progress here in my life, is that I am really, really good at keeping my commitments to other people, but not as good at keeping my commitments to myself. And this can be very small things. Like, it can be like, I decided I wanted to floss every day for a year. And about halfway through the year, I was like, okay, I'm done with that, which is small, right? But also, it's the principle of me not keeping my word to myself actually lessens my own relationship with myself. And I think a lot of mindset work is building up that relationship with yourself. And it's one of the things that as a coach and as a leader, as someone that wants other people to hold their words to themselves and hold their words to me, I want to model and be a really, really good model of that. And so in the last, you know, probably two quarters of 2018, I really started focusing on this principle of shifting my identity from being someone who is an obliger, somebody that is better at keeping my word to other people, to being someone that is an upholder, in other words, someone who keeps their word to themselves more. And that has been one of my practices in my own life and my areas of growth for myself. And it's been really, really helpful for me to strengthen my confidence and strengthen my own relationship with myself. So check out Gretchen Rubin's quiz, find out what you are. And I'd love for you to take a screenshot of this and tag me on Instagram and stories and let me know what you are. And let's talk about it. Let's chat it out. I will not judge you. I promise. I've had clients in all of those areas. I also get you. You're a human. And there's no wrong way to do it, right? Like, I'm not wrong because I'm an obliger. I could use that to my benefit and say, you know what? I'm going to share publicly that I'm going to be doing these commitments. But I want to do it for myself because I know what the relationship I want to have with myself, and I'm not operating in that place. And that's why I decided to work on that this year. Okay, so that led to tuning into myself more and trusting myself more, that rather than doing things that I think I should do. And that was huge because that totally shifted what I was working on. So I published a best-selling book that was a co-authored with Brad Yates and Amanda Goldman Petrie and the amazing Danielle Fitzpatrick, and it was great. And then right immediately after, I mean, literally like a week after it was published, I was like, I want to write another book. And this time I want to do it all by myself. And I want to do it front to back, like the whole thing. And I jumped into a coaching program all about, you know, writing a book. And what I realized is I was not at the place of my business where I could walk away from my business and just focus on writing the book. And I still had so many blocks around what I was doing. I was still unclear about my messaging and who it was for and all of this stuff. And so I was getting five steps ahead because I thought that it was what I should be doing or for where I should be in my business, rather than staying true to, number one, what my gut is saying. Number two, what I know is best for me right now based on where I am and just letting myself be there. And that was one of the hardest decisions to say, you know what, I'm putting my own book on hold for now. And I'm going to focus on really just nurturing and loving up my audience. I'm going to work on really nurturing and loving out my clients because I have them and I'm so grateful for them. And I am going to work on myself and, you know, just really strengthening this relationship with myself so that when it's time for me to write again, when I am ready to go write, I'm not going to be this flimsy like person who's flaking out on myself. Instead, I want to be the person that is like, I'm going to write a book. This is what I'm going to write. I'm going to write today, or I'm going to write every day this many things, or I'm going to write this chapter. Instead of flaking out on myself and making that relationship worse with myself, I realized I needed to have some things in place. One of them was the relationship with myself. The other thing that I wanted to have in place is more systems and more streamlined processes in my business. We had some turnover in the business. So I was training new team members, multiple team members at the same time. And so I needed to have my focus on other things rather than the book. So listening to myself more and letting go of control more. And this was especially true with regard to parenting and my children, which was so hard for me internally. I don't want this to be like this, oh my gosh, poor me thing. But I think anyone who's a parent can relate to this. Like sometimes we just want to have this tight grip on our kids and like on what they're doing and like all of the things. And you know, especially when I was working on the mindset pieces, I was like, you know what, I need to just loosen that control grip because it is not suiting me and it is not suiting my children. Like there were some things that my child who is four, right? He's four this year. He said something to me that was like this very controlling thing. And I was like, oh my God, he is just like me. What am I doing? Right. And so I think that, you know, the kids can reflect to us the best and the worst in us sometimes. And that was a big wake up call and moment for me to be like, you know what, I don't like the way I'm showing up as a parent and I want to change that. And so I've, not that I'm not like a whatever, like a totally out of control parent or let them do whatever they want, right? But I am more firm in the areas I need to be more firm in. I am less controlling and I am more like of a leader, I feel. And I'm still just working on that because honestly, that is probably the hardest thing I've ever done and probably will ever do in my life because it requires so much for me right now. Mental and brain reprogramming from compared to how I was raised. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my parents. They were amazing parents. But I wanted to do things slightly different. And that meant like undoing a lot of the ways that I was thinking about things. So that was another one. And I set up Profit First in my business. And that was amazing. So Profit First, if you don't know it, go check it out. Profit First is amazing. And I set up those systems in my business and very, very grateful for taking the time and energy to go do that work. So what would I have done differently? Here's some things that I personally would have done differently. So, and then that's another question you can ask yourself, by the way. So anyways, I would have automated a sales strategy before taking time off. So what happened is over the summer, I wanted to work on the book writing and just take some time off. I had a bigger consulting client and wanted to take some time off from my own business running of things. But what happened is I didn't have automated sales systems in place. Now in the past, if you've listened to my show, you know I have had funnel selling on autopilot for me and my business in the past in other businesses. Well, I wouldn't say other businesses, but I'd call it another brand when I was doing the mom entrepreneur stuff. And it was going great until the Facebook ad cost went up and I like stopped being so profitable with that funnel. And then I decided I wanted to step away from that brand. And so I turned off all those funnels. Well, those would have been nice to have when I chose to take some time away from my business the summer, but instead I didn't have that. So that was one of the things that I wanted to have this year during the summer and what I'm working on getting set up for next summer so I can take some time off over the summer and not feel stressed out is really having those automated sales systems in place. And also, well, another thing that went really well, I guess we're going back to that because my brain just kind of is all over the place, but I have my VA now. She makes literally consistent, I mean, she's making good sales in our business. She's made sales in our business and brought me leads that brought, like, were amazing. So I think that having that in place was like a huge breakthrough for me personally, but also will be helpful in the summer for next year if I want to take off, like, you know, and she's still here, hopefully, right? Like, all things work out. But I have now people who are also selling for me, so it's not like all the pressure's on me. So regardless of my, if my funnel is completely automated by summer or not, it will be a win because we have that set up. Okay, next. What I wish I would have done is honoring my time more in terms of one-on-one work and consulting. And, you know, with the shift being a lot more on myself doing group programs and also teaching others to do group programs, it was kind of like that moment where it was like, holy cow, I could be leveraging my time so much more, even though I have leveraged, even though, like, my group program was a big portion of my revenue last year, it still could have been even more than what it was, especially with still taking on consulting clients. So this year, I am no longer taking on any more consulting clients. I'm only going to be focusing on group programs and my, you know, you have to be in the group program, but my one-on-ones coaching that is included with the group. And the reason for that is because you have to have the right foundation of knowledge, so we're not backpedaling when you're in a one-on-one program with me. The other thing I wish I would have done differently is had better boundaries with myself when it came to that one-on-one work. So I would answer Voxer messages all hours of the night. We're going to get to that one in a minute. There was a lot of stuff boundary-wise that I wish I would have done and implemented sooner. And that's, boundaries for me was kind of hard, you know, because there's boundaries with your family that you have to make around your work hours. There's boundaries with your clients that you have to make and being okay with you running your business the way that suits you. There's boundaries you have to make with your staff and your team and, like, how they can contact you and when and where and how frequently and all of that. So for me, I feel like I've done okay with that. I really set good boundaries around my work time, especially well in 2018 compared to 2017 and the years prior. But in terms of the clients one, I saw that with one-on-one work, especially consulting, that was harder for me. And so making those boundaries has been really, really helpful, but also still a work in progress for me. And then the other thing I wish I would have done differently is not launched a membership site. So I launched a low-end membership site. I think it was like, I can't remember now, maybe $30 a month or something like that. And I just did not have the audience base at that time to be selling a membership site at that low price point. And I tried to do it. I did it for several months and just was like, this is not worth it. Actually, I think it was $49 a month. Yeah, that's what it was, $49 a month. And just the volume of people that I had, it was not worth it compared to, and I think that the pivotal moment was when I was looking at doing a big launch for that membership site and looking at my current following and realizing, holy cow, like, I am not anywhere near the numbers that I need to be at in order to make this number, the number of dollars per month that I want to be making from a membership site. And so looking at the opportunity cost of missing out on the revenue from a consulting client, which for me, like, you know, an additional $65,000 sale, it's kind of like, yeah, that's like a no-brainer, right? Why would I waste my time with that? And so that was when I finally decided to just close the membership and focus exclusively on the group coaching program for this side of my business. And I kept going with the consulting side until the group was a little higher in revenue. And now I'm no longer consulting anymore. So really, it was the process of launching the membership site, realizing that that membership model is not exactly how I want to run my business. It's not where I am in terms of my following and being able to hit those numbers. And then making the executive decision that the opportunity cost was just not worth it for me to be running that site and then closing that down. So that was really hard because there were some people in there that were getting tons of value and really loved the site. But at the same time, I had to go with what was the best use of my time and what I was willing to do for that time and not do anymore. So that was what I would have done differently. And the next question that you can ask yourself is, what do I feel really good about? So for me, what I feel really, really good about right now is my messaging and my pricing. So this last year, I really niched down into helping coaches and consultants to create, launch, and scale a six-figure group program. That messaging took me months of research and just like in the weeds, but also really felt really good once it like rose to the top and I got very specific about it. And I've been sharing with my clients a lot over the last few months, which I will share with you. And that is, being specific is so much easier. Like, it is so much easier to market my business now that I know what I'm talking about, who I help, and what I'm talking about, and it being so freaking specific that I just have a few topics that I really have to talk about ever. And that has been really, really helpful. I feel really good about delegating more. I delegated a lot. Hiring was a big part of what we did in 2018. We hired three permanent people, and we had a total of five interns in our company last year, which was amazing. And I can't wait to see what 2019 brings. We have a big focus on hiring again. I've been working on my org chart and what I want that to look like for the next year, and that's been really, really amazing. And all of these people in my company are in profit producing roles, which is a huge shift from where I was in 2017 when I decided to completely change my business. So if you haven't heard my story about that on the podcast, I had this team that was bigger, kind of like how it is now. Actually, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to hire a new podcast person. But anyways, I had a team that was bigger. I think I had around three people before, and I was having to bring in all of the sales to pay for all of them. And it felt horrible in terms of, I felt like I was just on this hamster wheel of having to sell to make payroll. And it was just horribly, horribly stressful. And underpaying myself and really just being in a financially stressful place. And so I completely restructured the infrastructure of my business, how all the roles are. And that was a huge, huge help in 2018 and will continue to be our focus in 2019, which I am thrilled about. Okay. What else I feel really good about is who I've become as a leader. I don't have too many other words except for that statement, because it has been incredible to see others have results through my leadership in terms of my team members, in terms of my clients, in terms of even just our followers on social media. And I think that that's really it, right? Like, who we get to become is such an important part of why we're setting goals and why we're doing all of the things that we do. And yet we don't acknowledge ourselves for that. And that goes back to confidence and like really owning the parts of the journey that make it worthwhile. And for me, it's who I'm becoming, who I've become, and who I will get to become as we go even bigger in 2019. And then I want to talk a little bit about the biggest challenges or obstacles that I faced, because I think that so many times you think, okay, when I get to six figures, like that won't be a thing anymore. Or when I get to multiple six figures, or I have a team, when I do this, when I do that, like we think all of those things are outside of us, but they're always within. And I want to share what my obstacles are still, you know, with you, because I want you to know that no matter what stage your business is at, whether you're making your first six figures, whether you're taking your first group program to six figures, or you're working on multiple six figures or even seven, we're all having this human experience with the same type of like struggles in so many ways. Now, sometimes the problem and the struggle can be an upgraded problem, but it's still, there's still going to be problems at every phase of the journey because we are in a human life, okay? So I'm going to share with you the challenges. And the first one was mindset. And specifically, I wrote down fear, lack, and scarcity mindset. So I have come so freaking far in terms of fear, lack, and scarcity mindset. I know when I began my journey, this was over 5 years ago now, I was like literally paralyzed by going live. Like fear was like an understatement for going live. And I remember doing my first Facebook Live and being like, oh my God, I lived, you know? And actually, I don't even know if it was live. It was just a video, but it was a pre-recorded video. What? I can't even believe that. Yes. So that was before Facebook Live. Holy cow. And now I'm like, holy cow. Like live is not a big deal. I can do videos all the time. I can do lives. I can show up on the podcast. Like none of that is a big deal. The fear though is still a real thing. And my fear in this season has been around, you know, making the right decisions as a CEO, making the right decisions in terms of the direction and focus of our business and the messaging and like what we're doing and who we're helping and like where we're going as a company. You know, like the fear can still come in. It's just a different fear and it's a different feeling and it's around different topics, you know? So that has been the biggest thing. And then the scarcity mindset, right? So I talked about how I had a membership site that I closed down and that opportunity cost problem that I had, right? But I didn't go so far as to be like, okay, I'm going to not do any leveraged offers. And like, I'm only ever going to do consulting one-on-one done for you. And like the most I can charge, and I'm going to take 100 clients like that. Right. Like, but behind that, there was still some scarcity mindset because what I truly wanted to be doing was my group program. What I truly wanted to be doing was one-on-one coaching rather than the done-for-you consulting. And so there was like me, the logical brain going through, okay, this is an opportunity cost. But then there was also the fear of, oh my gosh, but really, could I do that with one-on-one coaching again? Or what if the one-on-one clients are like bombard me again? You know, like I've talked about that in the past. I had 15 one-on-one clients. It was insanity. And so it was really, it's really just been this journey of finding the balance between being a CEO and making executive decisions and also making those decisions from a great place, not from a place of lack or scarcity or, you know, whatever, and instead doing it because I know that that's what I want and choosing intentionally. And that's really my process and like the edge I'm currently working. And it's been going really, really well. We've done some back-to-back launches that have gone incredibly well. I'm like blowing my own mind in terms of what I'm doing, what my team is doing, and it's just been incredible. The next thing is the other obstacle or challenge that I'm still working on is having better boundaries with myself and others. And, you know, especially with myself around like being completely off. So I want to be completely off after 6 o'clock. Like, I'm not going to be answering any messages from anyone. I'm not going to be on Facebook. Like, those kinds of boundaries are important that I set. And that's kind of like my next level. So really being intentional about that. And I think the other thing that was a challenge for me, honestly, and something that we're working on, is having that singular focus. So I tend to want to go big, and I want to do a lot of things, and I want to get to do a lot of things. And so with that comes a little bit of scatterbrain and a little bit of lack of focus. And this is why my coaching programs are structured the way that they are, because I'm always like trying to be the coach that I wish I had. And so what we do in our coaching programs, the Impact Formula is my signature group program. Anyone that comes in here, whether it be one-on-one or in a group setting, we do an assessment of your business top to bottom every quarter. And then you create a one sheet, which is your singular focus for 90 days. And it is your entire business top to bottom. You print it off, you put it next to your computer, and you're just working that process for the next 90 days. Like, you're working it and working it and working it. And so I, you know, like, when we're doing that, I want, you know, my clients to really focus on one offer, one sales mechanism, really that one singular focus, because that's how they can get the most momentum in that one area. And so this in 2018, that was a struggle for me, because I was juggling basically running the consulting side and running the online side. And, you know, trying to, you know, fumble around with the online side to get it to where I wanted it to be, and really stepping into what I really wanted to create intentionally. And so for 2019, my singular focus is going to be group programs that I am running, and really just automating a lot more, delegating a lot more, and really streamlining things a lot more. So that is kind of like my biggest lessons and takeaways from 2018. And I wanted to just say, like, no matter what kind of year 2018 was for you, whether it was a fantabulous year or you didn't quite get your goals, I want you to just stay focused on the process. There's been so much talk about, you know, $6, $7, $20 million and seven figures and six figures and all that. And I even talk about it in my marketing, because guess what? It is really amazing. I have a group program that's incredible, and it generates consistent revenue in my business that I love. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. If we are so focused on the outcome we want, but we're not doing the process, that process of like working your system, really showing up for yourself, really showing up for those day-to-day tasks, then we're never going to get there. And if we do get there, we're going to have like totally abandoned all of the things that are the most important to us, which is not going to be worth it. So what I want to leave you with as you step into your year in 2019 is really work on enjoying the process every step of the way. If you're a high achiever and you want to set big goals, go big, go for the goal that you want, and really just work the day-to-day grind of what it takes to get there. That's how you get there, by becoming that person every day and showing up in that way. And there's really no magic sauce to that, right? Like, I always share how around this time, so a few years ago, when I first started my online business, I started off as a health coach. The reason for that is because I lost 80 pounds after having my son. And what I realized is, like, oh my gosh, all I did was just ask myself, if I was the goal weight that I want to be at, would I be eating this? And it seems so simple, but I was really stepping into being the person who was making those decisions from the place of where I wanted to be. And so it can really be that simple. You have to step into and become that person now, today. And so I will leave you with one final. I'm going to recap all the journaling questions. So the first one is, what are the changes that I made to improve myself in the last year? The second one is, what would I have done differently? What do I feel really good about? What are my biggest obstacles and challenges moving forward in 2019? And lastly, what are you the most proud of? And I want to leave you with one last question, and that is, as you look at your year coming up in 2019 and the goal that you have set for yourself, because I know you, you're an overachiever. You probably got a goal in the back of that mind going. You're like, I want to get my business to X number of dollars. Awesome. Who do you have to become to be that person? Who are you? How are you in the world as you are that person, and be that person today? So I hope you have an amazing, amazing day, and I will chat with you in the next episode. In the month of February, I am going to be doing some intensive training on mindset mastery inside of the Impact Formula. That is my year-long group coaching program where I help you to walk away from the role as the struggling entrepreneur and step into the visionary CEO role in your company. And a big part of that is mindset. And so I've decided to revamp all the trainings. We have trainings in there that are currently helping you to step into a six-figure mindset around your group program. And what I've noticed being around six and seven-figure business owners, I'm in a mastermind with seven-figure and eight-figure business owners. And so basically, what are those mindset components and how can we step into that more? And so I'm going to be revamping all of that training. And I thought, how can I best utilize all of that, you know, focus? And what I decided to do is to, over the next few weeks, we're going to have some episodes coming out for the podcast that are going to be mindset heavy, meaning we're going to talk about how you're thinking about things, what you're thinking about, and how that is either helping or hurting you in your business. And I think there's no better time than when you are hyped up and ramped up and motivated by your goals for 2019 to make those changes happen and to make them last. You know, a big part of running a business and how I teach you to run a business and to be a CEO is to think long term and think about sustainability with your company. And that requires you to think differently than how maybe you have been thinking now. So that's what I have for you today. Look forward, make sure you hit subscribe so that you are going to get all of the rest of those mindset mastery trainings that we're going to cover for the rest of this month. And I will see you in the next episode. Head on over to impactdrivenentrepreneur.com where you can find an arsenal of videos, blog posts, and previous podcast episodes to help you increase your profit and impact. Again, impactdrivenentrepreneur.com, and click on blog. Enjoy!